Welcome back to another episode of Sales with Aslan. Mr. Norris, how are you doing today?
And I'm good.
To our vast listening audience, I want to welcome them back to another episode. And thanks for joining us. I mean, Tab, there's so many things you can do with your time.
There really are. I mean, you could paint, you can sculpt, landscaping. A lot of people do that right now. I don't
pottery.
Know. But how about always, a podcast? With
pottery pottery is always kind of your go-to.
It is. Pottery. It is. And I love, and you know, may not know this about me, but I used to love, my mom literally did pottery as a kid.
So this is why you always go to pottery.
It is. I have a past life
of
pottery.
Lovely mother. You have to, yes. Lovely mother.
So we had the little wheel that spins real fast and you throw the clay on there. It was really cool.
Well, of course, that reminds me of Ghost, which is, you know, that just got me. That romantic scene.
Ghost. Oh,
me.
Gosh. Got me. That's me. Bad. Well, it's good to be back with you, my friend.
Good to see you, my brother.
Yes.
So we got a kind of a interesting topic today because we just sort of decided to talk about all the noise in the market.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really... there's so much stuff going on, isn't there? Mm-hmm. I mean, like in shifts and, you know, we're seeing lots of technology coming into play and how that
AI now is really my wife is divorcing me and she's hiring an AI thing. I don't know how it works, but it's going to replace me completely.
No, it's all over the place. And I guess that'd be a great topic. Robot. She wants a robot to take over. So tell me, I mean, because Tom, you're always on the cutting edge. That's what you are. You're always right out there on the forefront. So I've been hearing noise, but you've been digging into it a little bit more. And so tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah. I think as I process all the information I'm getting that's constantly hitting our inbox, I think there's so much noise about all the enablement tools, you know, like I go on the other day, digital sales room or digital. I mean, there's just all these new labels. How is AI going to affect things? What sales enablement mean? What are the latest tool? Conversational intelligence. On top of that, you're already getting 100 emails a second coming in your inbox with just all the possible opportunities or social media is all the, what's happening in the market. Banks are going to, I mean, it's just so much going on that I think people are, I think, wanting an easy solution. You know, they're wanting, and also when you look at what sales organizations are happening, I think it's more difficult for sellers to hit their number. It's more difficult for people to get meetings. Turnover's higher. So, you know, people are there for a shorter period of time. We're trying to get them up to speed quicker. The ROI that a business has to produce in a certain period of time puts tremendous pressure on everybody. So, which drives all the volume of activity. And it's just everybody's just jumping. I think bouncing around to the latest, hottest thing that'll make it all go away and make it easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody's just trying to make it easy, trying to streamline things.
I'll sell you this tool and it'll all go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a pill. Take this pill.
Yeah.
There's a sales solution pill and you take it and your sales force will be fixed with this new thing.
Yeah. That's good. I know I just got off. I had a conversation with one of my customers just the other day and same thing. Well, gosh, I just give me, do you have some tool? Do you have some tool? I need
playbook.
A tool to hold my national salespeople accountable to go after the right. You know, I'm like going, I don't think there's a tool. I mean, you can use tools, but I mean, you know, incent them the right way and hope, you know, spend time with them and coach them up. And, you know, I mean, that human element.
It's kind of, I mean, it's funny because thinking about this weekend is the U.S. Open. Father's Day weekend, U.S. Open. So golf comes to mind. And it's like saying, hey, we got this AI tool that's going to help Rory McIlroy win the U.S. Open.
Right.
No. There's no.
He's still got to go out and play.
He still has to. Now, he might have an AI tool that will help him realize which shots he needs to work on and which shots he struggles. Yeah. And it can help him coach himself better. He can figure out what he's doing with the golf ball. There are tools that will give him information, help him synthesize and practice. Like he still has to practice.
He has to
practice smarter. Those tools are helpful, but he's still got to hit the golf ball.
Yeah, it does, and that didn't go away. Same thing with sales and sales leadership. It's got, this is all, these are all things that supplement.
Yeah,
which,
but I do think what's different about golf and what we're facing in the sales organization, that actually the market has changed.
Yeah,
like this golf course that they're playing. Yeah, they might make it a little longer, but then the, you know, the equipment gets a little bit better, so it kind of all evens out. But golf is golf is golf. But that's not true in sales. Mm-hmm. Customers, I mean, like if you look at your inbox right now, or just how it feels to be. I mean, I got a text today from somebody I haven't talked to in 20 years trying to sell me something, and it's not that person. They've hijacked that person's email text. Yeah. I know they're, I don't even, I mean, this guy is a high school. He's a friend of one of my kids. Last time I saw him, he was in high school. I mean, it's like, I'm getting an email from this guy trying to sell me some phone thing. I'm like, it's just, we're just overwhelmed. I mean, so there, I don't know how these people got my text number. I don't know what, you know, I'm constantly getting emails from people that say that they're my name and it's not, or it's just all the things that we're getting makes us just overwhelmed with how to break through the noise. And that's what I'm saying is the market has changed for a seller. Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, Tom. I think everybody, we all see this, the writing's on the wall, is we're real all feeling it. It's new frontier. What are some of the positives and the areas of concern that you see as we move in this direction?
I love to
have your insight.
Yeah. I think that's a really good place to start. The positives. Here's the good news. There is I'm going to make up a number, but I believe it's somewhere around here.
Say it in a really strong statement.
Yeah, I'm going to say it, but I believe this to be true within an error ratio of plus or minus 2%.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, I think 98% of the sellers are going to keep doing the same thing.
Mm.
They're going to keep doing the same thing, and they're going to have a smaller. The population of customers and prospects who are going to respond to the same traditional approach is going to keep getting smaller, and they have to work harder and harder, which is why you keep seeing, because of the automation and because it's harder to get meetings there, that's why we're seeing more volume of information. There's more channels, more information has to go out there, because I've got to put more messages are getting fewer responses. So what we do is we increase the message, and that's what everybody's going to do. They're all going to keep selling the same way. They're going to keep prospecting the same way, and it's going to continue to be less and less successful. So what they do is they got to do more and more and more. So here's the good news for the person that says, you know what, I'm going to do it differently. They're going to shine, and they're going to kill it and be incredibly successful, but it does require a new approach. It requires a new mindset, a new skill set, new process. But if they do that, they'll be different than everybody. Like, remember the rep we interviewed, and I'm blanking. We interviewed a rep that we worked with. Hold on, I've got him tabbed. He's on. I can't remember his name. You trained him.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember who you're talking about. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Great rep,
He outsold the next number two rep. He outsold him by 200% because he understood how to apply to what
we're Tyler.
Tyler, thank you.
Yes,
you can tell we don't edit our podcast. This is live. The end of the bar. Tyler. Like, sorry about that, Tyler. But yeah, so he understands a different way to sell, and because of that, people that know that can be successful. And I think there's a great opportunity for them. I think that's the positive.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. But and the more the noise, the more you're different than all the noise that everybody else is doing. They're just trying to let technology kind of take care of it. So it creates noise, and it's not unique. It can be less unique. I like that.
Yeah, they either do the technology thing, or they look to the company and say, "Give me more leads."
Yeah,
give me more leads, and I need more leads because I can't close the ones that I have. So I need more. And by the way, the reason I can't close the ones I have is because it's your fault. It's product fault. It's market fault.
Yeah.
And so I need more, more, more. And so then the turnover happens because what they say is, "Well, I'll just go look somewhere else. I'll go find some other place that has the magic pill, so I can just sit here. Leads are going to come in." And I'm going to be able to you know, convert those because I've got the great product solution, whatever. So, and that's just, there's only a few of those opportunities.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if you're depending on the company for leads and for the best product in the market, they don't really need you.
Right.
You become less valuable.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the people that really are making, I mean, I know sellers that are making seven figures in sales because they understand a different way to sell.
Yeah.
And they're so intertwined with the customer's business and they're so knowledgeable that it doesn't matter who they're representing. They're buying them. And so I think that's the opportunity.
So that's the positive side of it.
That's the positive.
What about the concern, area of concern or anything along those lines?
Well, I think the area I would say of concern is, I do think there's going to, as we try to navigate the AI world, I think we've got to get smarter about what we offer. Meaning, what is the human element? What do I, as a human being talking to other human beings, what value can I bring to the table? Which means, you know, I probably have to flex. I've got to probably stop doing certain things and start doing new things. And I think that's evolving. And I think that's real.
Okay. So it's like, so the concern is if you just keep doing things exactly the way you've been doing them, you're going to get left behind, or you could, versus, you know, there's lots of opportunity, but you got to be willing to pivot.
You got to be willing, because if you're, let's say you're the best at what you do in an industry that's going away.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's the industry. Yeah. I mean, we've worked with companies. We've been doing this for 28 years. We've worked with companies that no longer exist, not because they weren't excellent at what they did, because their industry went away.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, and so that happens. And I do think there is some, you know, there's, the market's going to be evolving and changing. And I think for some of us, we have to, you know, I think that's probably a downside, but I think for most people, it's really going to be about an evolution of new skills.
Yeah.
New skills, new, becoming more knowledgeable about what value you offer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And only you can offer.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it begs the question, Tom, you know, as a salesperson, as a sales leader, what should I be doing about it? Like specifically, do you have any thoughts, any advice that you'd give us?
Well, I want to double click back on what we talked about as a traditional approach, and then that's not going to work. And that's the good news, bad news. The good news is if you change your approach, you're going to be successful and you're going to have a competitive advantage. So I think that's probably a place to start, is to say, let's talk about what the traditional approach is. So the traditional approach is the idea that if I have the best argument, right, I've got the best value prop.
Yeah.
It's a use case, which it's important. Like, I'm going to communicate the value of my solution. I'm going to have the best value prop. I'm going to win. That's the traditional approach. It's like, I'm going to court.
Right.
I'm going to make my argument. The best argument's going to win. The problem is, no one's in court.
And the so problem you're talking is, to an empty room.
Yeah. And the problem is that it's not logical. It's emotional. It's like a lot of the resistance that sellers are finding. Sellers are facing buyer resistance.
Mm.
I mean, that is, if you just, that is the biggest problem I think we have in sales, is buyer resistance. Is, I don't want to talk to a salesperson. I don't care what you have to say.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk, because I know what you're going to offer. You're going to be sticky. You're going to email me 50 times. And by the way, I know what your emails are going to say. Your email is going to say this, and then it's going to say, I don't want to put this top of your inbox. And then it's going to say this again, and I'm going to put this top of your inbox. And it's going to say the same thing over and over again. And then it's going to have that breakup email. That's going to say, well, this is my last email. Are you sure? I mean, it's like,
and now they got little videos in there. Is this going to be you? And it's got from the office or something. And it's, and I'm like, I'm like, really? That's where we're heading here.
And some of this is being generated by marketing, right? With the sales rep's name on it, which is fine, right? Let marketing do their thing. But that traditional approach of coming up with a powerful value prop that's about you, going out in the market, or when you get in the meeting, you know, finding out how to sell your solution and spending time throwing a lot of things on the wall, which people continually say, this is how they sell. They go in, they ask a couple of questions, and they throw a lot of stuff at the prospect.
Yeah.
and customer. And then that doesn't really, the customer says yes or no, or goes away, or ghost. That's kind of the traditional approach. Or if you're an account manager, you manage the relationship and you just check in with people and you say how things are going, and they're looking to automate you out of the process.
Yep.
They're literally, that's another thing that's happening. The bad news is that the move in the market is to get purchasing and procurement to automate that so that they get the best product at the lowest price, and they can remove the emotional side of sales, the emotional right. side of buying.
Yeah.
And just process it and take the whole. And so because the rep doesn't offer value and they don't want the relationships built. And so those are some of the changes that are happening. And that's sort of the traditional approach.
Well, you know, it's funny. Mm-hmm. Carvana. That's what Carvana is.
Exactly.
They completely removed. CarMax moved in that direction. But you still talk to a salesperson. But I mean, Carvana, you get on your phone and you pick your car and it's a negotiated price and you go click, I'll take it. And they bring it to your house. I mean, that's it. They just bypassed salespeople.
They're trying to bypass. So look at the healthcare industry. Mm. What pharma knows, and mm-hmm. this can be a really good thing. Pharma knows that if the right person is in a territory, people will buy the product.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that could be a good thing because the territory should buy it. In other words, they have the best product, but the physicians or the healthcare provider doesn't know about it. And so they're educating the market, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But then you take a different person out of that market, and they leave, and another person comes to market, and all of a sudden prescriptions go way down. Well, so what's true, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. And I totally support what pharma is doing and their need to be in the office and educate and all that stuff. But the belief is if we can remove all of that emotional side and just figure out what's the best. Again, I'm not supporting this is what should happen. I'm saying is happening.
We can go
to a buyer group and say, we're going to make all the decisions for all the healthcare systems. And then we just go through us. We'll remove the rep influencing the people inside the organization. We'll make the decision. So we've got to figure out how to offer more value and change the way people mm-hmm. think about the sales position, salesperson, and have more influence. And what we're doing, I shouldn't say across the board, but most of what we're doing doesn't work. So
it's really, how do we as salespeople embrace technology and tools and things and connect it to the human element in order to bring the ultimate value?
Exactly. And what it starts with understanding, as we always say at Aslan, when the customer is emotionally closed, every time we go in to have a conversation, they're either open or they're closed. They're emotionally open or they're emotionally closed. Yeah. Right? People either like, I'm open to what you have to say, or I'm not. And when someone's emotionally closed, which a lot of these decision makers are now emotionally closed, the more we try to persuade them, the more closed they become.
Yeah.
Right. So if I sell, I lose. The problem is if I don't sell, I lose.
Right.
This is why people are resistant to selling, because they know what's going to happen. They're going to get shut down because they're like, you're selling me. Because what they're typically closed to is a sales call. And so the reps that are successful now, whether they're selling to buying groups, selling to physicians, selling to corporate leaders, selling to consumers.
Yeah.
Are learning a new way to have that conversation and be able to say things like, it might make sense to buy another product. It might right. make sense to
stay right where you're doing.
I understand the reason that you're going to this mm-hmm. process for buying.
Yep.
But because if you know how to approach that conversation, then you have a seat at the table. And as long as you have a seat at the table and you're adding value, you've got a place and you will be successful. And then you also will go, you know, in this case, this hospital system has decided that what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And I was part of that conversation and they all told me the same. And I met with everybody and they wanted to meet with me because they wanted my insight. And they landed on this vaccine being this is what's best for that hospital. And so for whatever reason, we're out.
Yep.
That frees me up. I know I've had the most influence I can have. I'm having the meetings I need to have. That frees me up to go look for other opportunities where I am going to be the chosen provider.
Right. Right. That's good. And I know we've talked about this a ton, on lots of podcasts, but all this noise, all this stuff, and just to drive that point home, this receptivity or this connection, this being open, is getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
It just continues to get tougher and tougher. It's always been there, but to your point, it's just all the noise makes it even tougher.
Well, and I think it's so hard for me to talk about this because it seems so like I look at this statement I'm about to make and I'm like, whatever. it's like you're talking to somebody about retirement and you say, you need to save money.
You know, right. Yeah,
oh, yeah, wow, that's your breakthrough insight.
Yeah.
But it really, the solution to this problem, it really starts with, we have to decide who's the priority. I really don't believe that most sellers think the customer is the priority. Now, when I say think the customer's priority, I should say that differently. I think they do believe that the customer should be the priority.
Right.
I just don't think they really actually are.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think they say it even. Oh, I know they're the priority, but everything you do, you don't believe it because every action that you have is counterintuitive to that. If you believe it, you don't think that you can act that way because you're in sales and that will hurt me and I won't make my money I need to make.
Yeah, it's kind of like, that's really what's priority. I've got to make the money I need to make.
Right. If that's really the priority.
And I got this. And by the way, the corporation I'm working for, small or large, puts a number on my head. If I'm in sales, I'm 100% commission. Whether they give me a salary or not, I'm 100% commission. I get paid based on what I sell.
Yeah.
And so that becomes my dominating agenda. And my first advice I would give is I'm not asking people to set to move away from that agenda. You and I both have goals, financial goals. Mm-hmm. We're not going to move away from that. What I try to do is to set that aside and I make a decision that if I serve my customers well, I will get my money.
Yeah. That took me forever to figure out. Yeah. But when I finally figured it out, it was the most freeing thing that ever happened in my life.
Yeah.
Like I'm actually making a lot more money. I'm having more fun. I'm out finding people that have pain, finding people that need some kind of solution.
Right.
And I just help them out. And when I did that, I made a lot of money versus when I'm like, well, today I will go forth and I will, you know, I mean, it was just so bad.
It's just let's go back to this buying group thing. Like I remember, I wrote about this in the book, a major pharmaceutical leader was meeting with the Mayo Clinic. And they started the meeting, and you could tell it was sort of an adversarial thing because we've already described where the healthcare world's trying to go is quit working with reps and try to get the decide. We don't need to go it again, but we know where they're trying to organizationally move away from how it's working now. And this rep starts the conversation off the leader. It's actually a leader started the conversation off because I don't really know if you need our vaccine.
Right.
What we need to work together on is get more people vaccinated because that's the problem. People aren't getting vaccinated.
So yeah.
I want to work with you on how do we get more people to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whether you need us or you don't need us, let's work together on that and see where this goes. And so that made that a incredibly productive relationship. And you have to mean that. So at the end of the day, if you realize by working at the Mayo Clinic, they don't need your vaccine.
Yeah.
But you're going to come to that conclusion before they do.
Right.
And by the way, that will lead when that person leaves the Mayo Clinic and goes somewhere else, they're going to bring you with them that relationship is going to be built and you're going to have better conversation. So it does really start with, and if you're a leader listening to this, if you can get your organization, if you can turn the organizational chart upside down, the pyramid upside down, and you put the customer at the top, you put the leadership at the bottom, and you teach your reps to serve their customers. And that's what everything is about, is how do we teach our people to serve their customer? If you're a rep, you wake up every morning and think, who needs my help?
Yeah.
Who can I serve? Who has a problem I need to solve? And every conversation is really just an invitation to have that conversation. Every mm-hmm. meeting is an invitation to, or prospecting call is an invitation to talk about how can I solve their problem. And that leads to purpose. Now, all of a sudden, I've got a purpose behind what I'm doing, and my organization has a purpose, and my team has got a purpose, and we're all aligned around this purpose versus we got to sell more. How are we doing? I need more money. You need more money. Let's get more money, which is fine. Money's great, but it's not my purpose.
So it's a mindset. So mm-hmm. the first thing we're focusing on from a solution standpoint is having a different mindset.
It starts with who's this about?
Who's this about?
I guess you could say that's definitely a
different
mindset.
Who is this
about? Who's this about? What are you, who are you really? The other thing, it changes who you pursue or how you think about who you pursue. Mm. And it changes your process. You know, you're kind of wandering around going, who, like, I mean, I think about that, you know, like I've got meetings later on today. I can walk into that meeting and go, I wonder how I can help them. Can I help them?
Right.
And that's going to be this conversation. And I'm going to be thinking about how I can. And if I can't, but it's just.
Yeah, there's plenty of people out there we can help. Just keep looking for them and you find them and you have win some, you lose some. I mean, it's so true. It really is. Yeah. It's not, to your point, it's not that complicated, but it's hard to pull off. I mean, and I think for a lot of salespeople, if some people have a lot of baggage. I mean, they've been doing it one way for a long time and they're trying to break free. It may take a little time, I would think.
Yeah. I think in the first step really is an awareness. Just to step back and say, and I just had a conversation with somebody, a friend of mine who doesn't work with us, but he's a friend of mine. He's read the book. And I just called him. He said, well, I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, right now I'm resetting my compass.
That's good.
So what he was referring to is, you know, the way that we help people think more tangibly about this is you have a compass. Right. The compass works. The actual compass works by the largest magnetic field is the North Pole. Right. So, mm-hmm. so because that's true, the compass works based on pointing to north. They knows where north is. So wherever you go, the compass works by based on knowing which way is north. Well, our compass always points to self. Always. We just default mm-hmm. to self. So it starts with there before every meeting, we have to decide. What is this about? What's my purpose? Who's the hero of the story? And if I do, all of a sudden my behavior is going to start changing. Now that doesn't mean I'm going to know what to do, but at least I
but
start.
I can't
do anything else if I don't start there.
Yeah. So that's the first thing. I love it. It's really good. Anything else?
Well, I think that starts to drive when we get more tactical. Now you start to look at your process. Which I think is the easiest thing to fix. And it also has there's a lot of impact to maybe a better way to say it. I think a lot of deals are get stalled and we get ghosted. A lot of it's due just to our poor process.
Like unpack that a little bit.
Everybody talks about, I was on a call the other day and they talk about their 9-step process that's in Salesforce.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or the process that, you know, what's our way of selling? Right. So there's that, you know, that people will say things like that. All of it points to what are the stages of the sales process and what are the steps? I do this, then I do this, and I do this. And then they have everything organized around those stages. Here's what you do at these stages. Here's mm-hmm. What are the gates to move from one stage to the other? And every time, except one, I've looked at too many sales processes to count, but every time I look at a sales process, it's built for the seller.
They have a self-centered approach to their process. It's like, this is how we do it in order to sell the most stuff.
Here's what you're supposed to do as a salesperson. Prospect, qualify, propose, you know, demo, whatever. It's what I do as a seller. Now that makes sense, right? I do think you need to know what to do mm-hmm. as a seller, as a sales organization. You need to know this is what I do. That's mm-hmm. I completely embrace that because that's intuitive. It's like, what do I need to do?
Right.
But what's missing is the layer above that, which is what process does the customer go through to evaluate their problems, and where are they in that process? And then how do they make a decision? And if we are, we start with that, mm-hmm. all of our conversations are built around helping them navigate that. Mm-hmm. And then it also informs us of what we need to do next to help them. So let's say I'm having a conversation. Hey, you guys evaluating a solution? No. Okay. Well, do you have this problem? No. Okay. Well, oh, we are evaluating solutions. We got an RFP coming out. Great. Can I have that RFP? Oh, wait, I need to back up and ask you some questions so I know how to answer the questions. That's how we wait. And we're very reactive. We're looking for an opportunity that's already come out. What people that are really trusted partners and are successful in this market, they look at the whole process and get involved very early.
Mm.
And they help the customer navigate all those steps. So by the time they get to, I got to choose a solution provider, they've been involved with that the entire time because they know how to help the customer navigate that process.
So can you tell me what that could look like? Because that's really good.
Yeah. So if you think about any business or at any level, mm-hmm. they have steps they go through. So the first thing is they have to want something.
Yeah.
Right. They have a destination,
mm-hmm.
and they're sitting around in a room. It depends on whose nose is in that room. I want to know who's in that room. Somebody's landing on a destination. This is where we're going in the next, and the higher up in the organization,
The longer the time frame. Yeah.
Right. Some people are thinking 3 months, some people like 6 months, some people like,
mm-hmm.
but they have a destination. Everybody wants something. Mm-hmm. And so this is where it starts. I want to get somewhere. I have a destination that I want to reach. And I'm typically evaluated based on reaching that destination.
Okay.
And it's not related to a product.
Right.
It's related to my division, my job. Mm-hmm. Maybe my entire company. You know, we do that at Aslan. What are we trying to do? We had a leadership meeting in January. We talk. Yeah. I started off that leadership meeting talking about our destination.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we all are talking about, that's what we talk about. Now we might have more granular conversations about, I need this software, or, you know, I may need this solution or this technology. We may say those things, but it all starts with where our destination. Then we make a bet. How are we going to get to that?
Yeah. What do we think is the best path to get there?
Best path. It's strategy. We're going to make a bet. We're going to say, we think the best way to get there is hire more people, reorganize our organization, make these investments, do these things, right? We come up with a strategy. Then we go, well, now what do we need? We define what we need. We define our initiatives. We say, well, this is what we think we need to do that. And then we come out of that. We go, well, what can we do internally? And then the next step is, now we start looking at, now based on that as initiatives, we come up with our options. What options do we have? All right. And now we go, oh, we need to outsource. We need to look for solutions. Now we go to choose those solutions. And there's, how do we do that? How are we going to choose? And we'll come up with our process for choosing. And then we implement, and then we evaluate. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what.
That's the buying process.
That's the buying process. And so the smarter you get about where they are in the buying process and how you help them navigate that buying process means that you can provide value at every single stage. And your conversations are about their buying process, not about, because here's what we do now. Go, okay, so you guys came out of your leadership meeting. Do y'all need a new e-learning tool? I'm not really sure. We have, you know, that could be a part of it, may not be a part of it. We're in the middle of figuring out our strategy and getting more specific about what resources we have and how much we want to, we're trying. Okay, great. Well, when do you think you'll have all that nailed down? I don't know, maybe 6 months. Okay. Well, so I should call you in 5. Sure.
Right.
Right. And then you 5 minutes go, well, how are you doing with your e-learning? How are you doing with your LMS or whatever. Partner, well, we decided to move in a different direction, or you never hear from them.
Mm-hmm. That's probably.
Meanwhile, we could have made a bad decision 4 months ago, but we were no one was in the room.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites, I was with a guy and I was riding with him and I said, so tell me kind of your strategy. You know, we're going to go out and do a little, you know, do a little selling today.
Yeah.
Because man, he goes, going, I know, I'm like, fishing, oh, this fishing. Is going to be good. So I said, so we're, he just, he goes, just watch, you know, so we walk into this, he comes in, he said, hey, Bobby, how's it going? Good, good, good. He said, so you got anything lying around on your desk that I can take care of for you? I'm like, so that's your strategy? Because I, yeah, I sell stuff. I'm like, wow. So to your point, I feel like a lot of times, I just had this conversation with a client not long ago. A lot of sellers live so late in the sales process that they can't, even if they want to have the right approach and they want to do the right things, they're so late, it doesn't matter. And I think that's what you're alluding to. If you come in too late, you can't, the ship's already sailed. You can't influence.
And this is the bad news. This is part of the bad news. That role is being diminished. Mm. The role of, they're organizing the salespeople out of that process. Like that's where the work day is. They have these portals, you information in. It's like, we don't want to talk to salespeople. You enter the information in, we'll make our decision without you. And the problem is what they're looking for isn't the right solution a lot of times.
Yeah.
And you know that when you get the proposal, you're like, oh gosh, these guys don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. So what we have, but if you don't understand what the process they're going through.
Yeah.
You can't back up. You can't get in early and back up because you don't even know what to, you're just going to go in. Is there anything lying around your desk? And the answer is no. And then you come in the next month. Is there anything lying on your desk? Yes. Exactly. Great. Let me code it. Yeah. Because they're selling a product. Mm-hmm. But if we want to succeed, we need to be able to articulate the process. Maybe we don't need to articulate to our customers necessarily, but we need to be able to determine where are they in the process and then have a value that we can offer to the customer and to the right people. Because mm-hmm. you may be talking to somebody early, you know, it's early, so they haven't got the initiative yet.
Yeah.
But if you know what's happening, and by the way, if they don't know what's happening, you realize you're at the wrong level.
Right.
And you've got to move up. And so it really opens the door to start having a completely different conversation. And so, and as you're talking to the customer about, or key stakeholders or decision maker about the process, you are starting to add value and shape how they think about it. And now you have a completely different relationship.
So I love this, and this may be a good kind of wrap up for, and I'm sure we're going to come back. Is there more? There's more to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
Yeah. But if I was going to put a bow on this, the good news is the sales role through all this should be elevated.
Yeah.
Like much more valuable. That's how you survive. I mean, you're going to survive in sales by being really good and being focused on the customer and bringing value and really help guide them through this process. And if not, you're going to be extinct.
Yeah, that's a good summary. And I think it captures what we've really been trying to say, or I've been trying to say is where the market's going. They're going to need less and less and less and less and less. And they've been saying this for years, but it's really happening. Less and less and less transactional people who say, I need a product. Great. Well, you tell me the specs. Yeah. I'll ask questions around the product you need, and I'm going to give you that product. There's going to be less and less and less opportunities for sellers.
And I got lots of clients that are all about that right now. Yeah. I think about most all of our big client, everybody, all of them. That's where they are. The leadership understands that.
The leadership understands that. They're moving because the market. But if you can, and I'll give you a great example. I'll close with this. Working with a company that sells welding equipment, right? So they would be on the concrete talking to the people that weld all kinds of things, like manufacturers mm-hmm. that are welding things. And so we would talk about, we're on the concrete. We're talking to the people that are using the equipment. And these people are the best at creating this equipment. Mm-hmm. And we would say, well, what's happening up there in the carpet? This is a manufacturing organization.
Yeah.
And where are they trying to go, and how can you help them? Because they use a lot of your equipment. How can you help them navigate that, understand what's on their whiteboard, understand what their strategies are, what bets are they making, how are they expanding, what businesses mm-hmm. are they moving into, and how can you help them? Because they would go, I don't know.
Yeah.
The concrete rep who just focuses on selling the product is going to go away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the people that can go to the carpet and influence them are going to make, I think, a lot more money. There's going to be a lot fewer of them. And by the way, we could talk next time about, well, there are still conversations we have to have on the concrete level.
Yeah.
Right. With people that, you know, you walk in their office and go, hey, what's anything on your desk? There's still those conversations. Yeah. There's a different way to have those conversations where people are unsuccessful that can be more successful. But I think big picture, that's what I'm seeing on the horizon.
Yeah.
And which is a big opportunity for people who can make that shift.
I love it. Good stuff, Tom.
Like beautiful. Always. I hope we got a little high level today, Tab.
I know. I like, you could, we can do that every once in a while.
We can get a, yeah, we can get a high level.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you close us out? I always close us out. You close us out since you
all right. Me. Thank you, Jim, for joining us for another episode of Sales with Aslan.
I don't feel like that was an announcer voice that you need.
I can't do the announcer voice. I don't have it. That's why I don't do it.
Okay. You don't have it. Okay. Nope. All right. Surely. Yeah. We do always do appreciate our listeners and people tuning in with us. Good to see you, my friend.
You too.
Until next time on another episode of Sales with Aslan. I had to say it.
Yeah. You can't stop.